Whether you call it commercial redemption or accept it for value, The Commerce Game Exposed is the book that will help you understand this process. The fact is, there is no lawful money in circulation. The explanation and details as to how this happened are enlightening, and the instructions concerning what one can do with this information are detailed and easy to understand. Utilizing this process is not for everyone, but learning how lawful money has been turned into commercial debt instruments should be of concern to everyone. The Commerce Game Exposed book is a good tool to learn the commercial nature of the New World Order. To order the Commerce Game Exposed, go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050.
Swiss America's CEO, Craig Smith, says there are four major facts pushing gold prices higher. One, a dropping dollar, reducing our standard of living. Two, $1 trillion debt and deficits, living on borrowed time and money. Three, scandalous Wall Street behavior, fueling a confidence crisis. And number four, terrorist attacks, adversely impacting economies and oil prices. Now, I'm no economist, but common sense tells me all this adds up to higher gold prices. Get informed. Take action. Call my good friends at Swiss America to understand why gold is such a safe haven at 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-BUY-COIN. Ask for your free 2004 Gold Rush Kit at $25 value. That's 1-800-289-2646 or 1-800-BUY-COIN.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings and welcome, saints. This is Pastor Dan, and we're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas. Today, it's a little nippy in here. My heater doesn't seem to be working in the studio, but we'll get by. I've got enough and going over here. But today we're going to have a real good program. We're going to have David Ells back with us. You remember him back from about 3 weeks ago. He was on the air with us, and we got so engrossed we even talked to the very end of the program. Didn't even have time to give out his web information or anything. I did put that up on our website, but today we will at 6:50. I want you to have your pens handy, so we'll try and start going out at 6:50 and give you any information that he wishes to give you. I'm glad to see America's recovering back from the elections. I'm glad that is over with. That was something else. Anyway, so we can get started. I'm going to say a prayer to open this program with. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I ask what comes out on this program is what you want to come out and not what I want. And I thank you for our time with the world this week. In Yeshua's name, amen. We find in Matthew 24:21 a scripture that tells us, it says, "For then there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And except that those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Well, saints, I don't believe that we're going to fly out of here before the tribulation. I believe that we're going to go through the tribulation. I do believe and know that the Lord God, our Father, will protect his own. And here, one thing I've always pondered, I'm not saying before this program comes on, I'm not saying that, again, if God puts it on your heart to store up things, that's fine. You should do whatever the Lord tells you to do. But I often most wondered that with this concept, you know, where does that place a poor person? So that the only people that can be saved are the ones that can afford to store up? Or just how will we get through this time? And the Lord brought us this man, David Ells. And David, which is his website is called America's Last Days, has a very good scriptural insight on just how the saints will survive during that time. And so you, this is a very important program. We, part one is up in archives already on our website, but you really need to listen carefully and prayerfully to what Brother David has to say. Are you with us, Brother David?
Yes, I am. God bless you, Brother Dan, and bless you, brethren.
Well, God bless you, too. It's really good to hear your voice.
Well, I left off speaking with you about the wilderness and what the Lord had been showing me about it for over 30 years. I'll back up just a little bit because some of you probably didn't get their last broadcast. Actually, I was in the middle of a good testimony in the last one when we left off, so I'll give you the end of that.
All right.
But I want to tell you something that the Lord told me many years ago, which he said to me that I've always leaned back on because I've gone through some really hard times, but I wouldn't have missed them for the world but to see God's answers. God's answers are just awesome, you know.
Amen.
Man's answers are very temporal, and they don't build anything in you, but God's answers are an awesome testimony, you know.
Right.
The Lord said to me many years ago, he said, I'm bringing you through a wilderness so that you can tell my people that I still supply all their needs there. And he has really done that over the years. He's brought me through different wilderness experiences to see how that God really doesn't need man to meet our needs. All he needs is for us to believe what that word says.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, God is already supplied in the wilderness, and I want to explain to you why. Do you know also that the wilderness in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 is talking about the tribulation period?
Amen.
And everything that happened to those Jews was for our admonition upon whom the ends of the age have come.
Right.
When you look back at their tribulations and their troubles and their trials in the wilderness, that's a good type and a shadow of what the church is going to go through.
Amen.
Now, the Lord taught me many years ago that if I would hold fast to his word, I would be in the tribulation. I would be in a wilderness of my own. You know that there are people right now who are spiritually walking out into their wilderness, like Moses, like Jesus, like Joseph. There are people who are going to be called in these days the first fruits because they've already gone through their wilderness experience. And their job in the future is going to be to teach the church how to live in the wilderness. A lot of the leadership has never been into the wilderness, and they don't know how to live there. But I can tell you how to live there, and it's going to be an awesome power of signs and wonders and miracles of the latter rain that's going to be manifested to the church. There is nothing to worry about, folks. It's a completely secure and safe place for the people who are believers. This is the whole key right here. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith, and as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. It's very important how we believe and what we believe. That's why we have to hold fast to exactly what the Bible says.
Amen.
Watch how the Bible puts us into a wilderness when we believe exactly what it says. Hebrews 11 and 1. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Faith is a substance. The righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, the Lord says, my soul has no pleasure in him. In other words, the Lord wants a people who live by faith. This is what's valuable to him. It doesn't matter what's valuable to us. It matters what's valuable to him. What is beautiful to the Lord? That's what's important. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for. And now, this is a clue here. This is a really miraculous clue. I've had a miraculous life because I understood this really simple thing. All things whatsoever. What does that leave out? Nothing, right? All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe that you receive. Actually, the word there for receive in the Greek is received. It's even past tense, not even present tense. It's past tense. Believe that ye received them, and you shall have them. Now, when you pray for something, and you believe you have received, do you continue to seek after it by your own works, by your own efforts, by your worldly ways? Well, most Christians do because they haven't caught on to this principle.
Right.
But God made this principle for a reason, because when you believe you have received, you will cease from all of your struggling, all of your striving, all of your anxiety, all of your self-efforts to save yourself, provide for yourself, all these things. It totally negates the works of man. It's like when the Israelites were forced into the wilderness, where they had no help from Egypt, no supply from Egypt, none of Egypt's methods worked anymore. That's what's coming for the church. Now, Egypt represented the old man, because in the baptism of the Red Sea, they were put to death, and the Israelite represented the new man because they came up on the other side. Then they were baptized in the water and in the cloud, which was a spirit baptism, and they went into their wilderness. Now, God's plan was to bring them to a place where they couldn't save themselves, provide for themselves, so on and so forth, so they would learn to put their faith in Him and His promises. A wilderness is a place of weakness. And God said to Paul, "My power is made perfect in weakness." He doesn't want our efforts. Salvation in any form is not by works, it's by faith. And God's going to teach us that in the wilderness. Most of God's people haven't the foggiest idea what a spiritual wilderness is all about. But we're going to have to be able to depend upon God's promises to receive manna out of heaven, water out of the rock, so on and so forth. You know, impossible places to receive. And yet, God's promises are absolutely, perfectly true.
Amen.
Notice what the Bible says about all the promises of our provision. He says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, who in his own self bare our sins." Notice the past tense. Have been saved, bear our sins in his body, and by whose stripes you were healed. You know, when you believe that you were healed, you don't have to, by self-efforts, seek after healing. You can rest in it. You know something? Let me tell you something that God told me. Now, I'm not stepping on anybody's theology here, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me, that there is a spiritual Sabbath. Not just a physical. There's a spiritual Sabbath. It's called the Sabbatismos in Hebrews 4 and 9. And it says, "There remaineth therefore a Sabbatismos for the people of God. For he that hath entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works as God did from his." You see, our problem is we won't rest from our works. Sabbatismos there is the word a continual rest. A continual rest. You see, God doesn't want us just to cease from our works one day a week. He wants us to cease from our works every day of the week. The
Amen.
Works
what
of the flesh,
alone.
The works of self-salvation. Again, I'm not talking about a literal Sabbath now. I'm talking about a spiritual Sabbath, okay? Ceasing from our works to save ourselves. Ceasing from works of self-justification. And yet the Bible says in that same chapter, "For we who have believed do enter into that rest." Wow, we who have believed. You see, when you believe you have received, according to God's promises, you just cease from your works, you enter into the rest, and that's where God does his work, because now you're in a place of weakness. See, and God said, "My power is made perfect in weakness." So, when we accept the fact that we've been saved, he bore our sins, we were healed, we can cease from all of our efforts to bring that to pass. We can give God the faith, which is what? The substance of the thing hoped for. That is the very substance. You want God to make something for you? You have to give him the substance. I mean, that is the one condition all the way through the Gospels. You know, the Gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's the key right there, the one that believeth. Now, you can be a Christian, but you got to be a believer. That's
Amen.
The important thing. The Bible says, "Who delivered us," past tense, "out of the power of darkness, translated us," past tense, "into the kingdom of the Son of his love, who reconciled us to himself," which means exchanged, you know, his life for our life, exchanged unto himself. The Bible says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, 1 Peter 1:3, he begat us again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 10:10, we have been sanctified. You know, he hath perfected, verse 14, Ephesians 1 and 3, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing. 2 Peter 1 and 3, one of my favorites, it says, he hath granted, past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know, God did it all. You see, don't waste a lot of time begging God, folks. It's not scriptural. You didn't see the disciples doing that when they were administering God's salvation. They just commanded it done because they knew it was already done. And that's what the Bible says. You can rest from your works. You can enter into the works of God because you believe those promises, you see. Some people lump all works in the same category, and that is totally false. That's people who don't want to bear any fruit that come up with that doctrine. The truth is we got to bear the fruit of Christ and bear his works through us. The Lord will work his works through us if we'll cease from our works. But as long as we're working, he's going to back up and wait till we beat our head against the wall long enough.
Till we get
up. Because salvation isn't by our works, folks. He's offended with the fact that his people think that he has no power anymore, you know, and that they have to trust in their own efforts and their own Egyptian ways that they learned in Egypt. But you see, we're going into a wilderness where none of those efforts are going to work anymore. They're all going to fail, even more so than they are now. They're all going to fail, all of our self-efforts, you know. But my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory. That's the great thing. And that promise is true whether you're in a wilderness or whether you're in the prosperity of America. Makes no difference. God's promise is God's promise, and he cannot fail. He cannot lie, the Bible says. I started sharing with you last time some of my wilderness experiences, you know, which I think are going to be just common experiences in the days that are coming. God is commonly going to do some awesome, awesome things. We're going to be amazed at what God's going to do. Why? Because God's people have finally been forced into a place of weakness, which everybody wants to negotiate with the curse around us from a position of strength. But they don't realize it's not just faith, folks. It's faith and weakness, because if you don't cease from your works, God's not going to do his. He's waiting for us to believe and cease, to enter into that spiritual Sabbath of ceasing from our works, to see him do his. I shared with you last time what the Lord spoke to me some years ago, and I wrote it down, and I'm going to read it to you.
Amen.
The Lord told me, there will be saints. I'm talking about in this coming wilderness tribulation. There will be saints translated out of the middle of nuclear blasts because they are not under the curse. You understand, not under the curse? Galatians 3 and 13. The Lord bore the curse for us. Anything detrimental that comes against your life around you, folks, that's the curse. And we're not receiving of the blessed life of Jesus because we don't believe the word of God. Jesus already bore the curse. Galatians 3 and 13. Go to Deuteronomy 28 and read the curse there. Every sickness that's ever happened is there. And he said, if it's not written here, he said, God will put that on you too. So he's talking about all sickness, you know, and everything else is there too. It's just really neat, you know. And he went on to say that people would walk through fires without being burned. I shared testimonies of translation and walking through fires in the last broadcast. You go back and listen to it if you want to, how God preserved me in both ways. And multiplying food. I shared how God had multiplied food for me several times. And he told me that the saints would be blessing poisoned water, because poisoned water is going to be all over the United States before this is over. And food. And raising the dead. And I was in the midst of that testimony last time. And doing miraculous healings. And disappearing from enemies. Some of God's people are going to walk, they're going to disappear in the midst of their enemies. They're not even going to see them. And this is going to be a common occurrence. Conquering the enemies with the spoken word. Parting rivers. Causing vehicles to run without gas or water or batteries. I've experienced most of these. I can tell you about them. Speaking clearly in languages they have never learned. Feeling no effect from man-made plagues and poison gas, blowing clouds of these away, guided by the Spirit to places of refuge, changing scoffers' minds and casting out demons and being able to be martyrs for Jesus, and much, much more, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I was in the midst of sharing a testimony with you that I thought was just awesome. I mean, I love to run into baby Christians because their faith is so strong. They haven't been so polluted with religion that they can just simply believe the Word of God.
Yes,
when I started reading the Word of God, I didn't have any background in religion except Catholicism, didn't know what the Bible was all about. But when I picked it up, boy, I tell you, God just came down on me like a blanket. And I had such a powerful anointing to read and read and read and read, and I read and read day and night, and it stuck with me for 30 years. Just read the Word of God and love the Word of God. And I didn't have any education, so I didn't have anybody to tell me that God doesn't do these things anymore.
Right.
So I just started doing them. And praise be to God, when they did finally get to me to tell me that God doesn't do these things anymore, I knew better. And I departed out of their midst because I knew they had a form of godliness and they were denying the power thereof.
Amen.
I was teaching in a church, and this little girl's testimony, it just impresses me. It's always impressed me. I was teaching in this church not long after I first moved here to Pensacola. And I was preaching, I forget what I was preaching on, but there was a little girl there that came in with her common-law husband, and she got saved. And she didn't know anything about religion, and I think this was probably a plus in her life because she knew nothing. She had no background in religion. So she was just, the Bible was all new to her, you know. But she got gloriously saved. And after the meeting, well, she came forward to talk to me, and the pastor was there, and we were discussing some things, and she said, listen, I have a real problem I need to talk to y'all about. So we called her into a room, and she and the pastor and the pastor's secretary and a couple other people were in the room, and myself and my wife, Mary. And she came out and told us, she said, three days ago I was in the public health unit, and they pronounced my baby, because she was very, very pregnant, dead. And she says, I did it. You know, I killed him. And she confessed her sins and so on, and we prayed for her. And she said, I asked her a question came to my mind, and I said, Renee, is there someone you haven't forgiven? And she says, yes, there's somebody that comes to mind immediately I haven't forgiven, and I really just can't forgive them. I said, well, who is this? And she told me it was a doctor that she thought had purposely aborted one of her children years before. And I don't know what the method was, drugs or whatever, you know. And I said, well, Renee, you just did the same thing. I said, don't you think you have to forgive him? She says, yes, you're certainly right. And I said, why don't you pray for him? So she did. She prayed for this doctor, and she asked him to be the Lord to save him, and she asked the Lord to deliver him, and so on and so forth. And when she was through, I told her, I said, Renee, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? And she said, yes. I said, well, we're going to pray over you, and the Lord's going to fill you with this Holy Spirit. So the pastor and I prayed over her. And boy, I tell you, the Holy Spirit came on her in such power. She was literally, she was a quiet, you can't imagine, she was a very quiet person. A soft-spoken, quiet, easy-going person. But when the Holy Spirit came on her, she was just jubilant. I mean, she couldn't sit down. She was just moving around the room and just rejoicing and thanking God and praising God and raising her hands and just, you know, just enjoying the Lord. And I watched this for a few minutes, and when she was speaking in tongues, you know, folks, you know, if you get what they got, you'll do what they did. That's the whole point, folks. Don't deny the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you want the Holy Spirit according to the way they received it in the book of Acts, then go ahead and receive it, because you'll receive things like this lady received. Let me tell you, this lady got filled with faith, you know, immediately when this happened, and she was just full of faith. And when she calmed down for a minute, I said, Renee, I feel like that there's no reason at all that the Lord won't raise your baby up, you know. Now, they had pronounced 3 days before that her baby was dead. She told us that they had done the heartbeat monitor, and they'd done the sonogram, and they took a sample of fluid, and they said that she was supposed to come back and get a D&C. and she didn't go back.
Amen.
And it was now 3 days later.
David,
yep.
We're going to have to take a break here.
Okay, sure.
We'll come back to that. This is almost the same place where we got cut off, but this time we have time when we come back. I also want to remind the folks that you're going to be back with us next week too, aren't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, praise the Lord. And so we'll take our break, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. And stay tuned. You must hear David Ells. This is just wonderful things. Let's go to break. Frank. Well, maybe he's not ready on our end. You think, David?
Maybe not.
We're supposed to go to break at 27 after, and I have that by my watch. But anyway, praise the Lord. I guess he'll have to interrupt us then if he wants to go to break.
Okay. Want me to continue on?
Well, let's just give him a second here.
Okay.
We're supposed to be at break right now. Anyway, praise the Lord. Tell us where your website's at real quick.
Okay. It's americaslastdays.com.
I guess he made it.
Okay.
We'll see you in 5 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. Heard about the goodness of goji? Now experience it for real. 100% wildcrafted sun-dried goji berries from the ancient valleys of the Himalaya Mountains. Here's the deal. You get 10 times more raw goji fruit than what is contained in a leading brand of goji juice for half the price. $19.95 per single pound of pure sun-dried goji berries, or 12 pounds for only $120. You do the math. And as an American Voice radio special, 4Spectrum will waive the shipping fee. Go to www.4spectrum.us or call 1-800-581-8906. That's 1-800-581-8906, or visit www.4spectrum, that's the number 4spectrum.us. And don't forget to tell them you heard it right here on ABR. Time is money and knowledge is power. That's why you need the Basic Research Library CD from the American Voice now. This CD contains the Federalist Papers, which are the definitive writings illustrating the intent of the Constitution, and the Anti-Federalist Papers, which read like a crystal ball to everything gone wrong concerning the present-day Constitution. This CD also contains Bouvier's Law Dictionary and the Uniform Commercial Code, plus the inaugural speeches of the U.S. presidents, the U.N. Charter, NAFTA, Hitler's Mein Kampf, the full Communist Manifesto, the Patriot Act 1 and 2, the model anti-bioterrorism law, the Homeland Security Bill, the FBI's Project Medigo, and too much more to mention here. The CD contains over 1,000 files. To order your CD, go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call us at 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050 for ordering information. The fruits are grown in chaos, distrust, and economic depression. A weary populace can seek peace only from the solutions they offer. They have worked until suicide has become so common that it generally calls forth no legitimate investigation. They have used the courts, the judges, the medical profession, and even the Constitution to further their ends. America now has over 1 million of its citizens in prison for political crimes. So who are they? And how long have they been at this? Psychopolitical Warfare is a 70-page color cover booklet that describes the strategy and tactics behind psychopolitics. Psychopolitics is only $10 from the American Voice. Go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050 for ordering information.
Fire on the mountain. went to sea. The bush was burning with the flame by the power of God's glory, standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, he was standing, standing. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, men that had their sandals off when they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing, standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield. But I in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, he was standing, standing on holy ground. Holy ground, holy ground, they were standing. Are you standing, standing on holy ground?
American Voice Radio Network. This is Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour, and we're talking with David Ells about how to get through the tribulation, or rather the wilderness. And much like that song said, I thought it was very appropriate for this program. It talks about being in holy ground, and we need to be in that personal peace and that shalom of the Father. And that's what David's basically talking about, putting ourselves in that perfect peace all the time so he can control our situation. But he's better at saying it than I am. And so, Brother David, are you there?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
Okay. We was in the middle of that story. I really want to hear the end. I waited 3 weeks for this.
Yeah. Well, I just left off saying that I'd asked this young girl whose baby had been pronounced dead 3 days before in the public health unit. And I'd asked her, would she allow us to pray for her? I told her that I believed God would raise her baby up, and I asked her if she would like to believe God with me and pray, and she was very affirmative. So I called my wife over, and I asked her to put her hand on her tummy, and I just commanded the Spirit of Life to come back in that baby in the name of Jesus Christ, and it was that simple. And then I began to give her some instruction. And I began to share with her just what I've shared with you, that about the past tense promises, how that you believe you have received.
Amen.
And I pointed out to her, I said, now, it doesn't matter what you see. You're not walking by sight, and you're not walking by feelings, and you're not walking by hearing. You're walking by faith in Almighty God. You're supposed to be more impressed with what He says than what men say. Don't let anybody talk you out of something that you've prayed for. And I gave her that verse too, Mark 11:24. I said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and you shall have them. And you know, it's just amazing how baby Christians, this girl was just a few hours old in the Lord, had no religious background. It's just amazing how they can pick up the faith and go with it, especially when they've obeyed God and been filled with the Holy Spirit, like this girl was.
Amen.
Glory to God, man. I tell you, she was just very, very, very eager, you know, to see what God would do. And so, when we got through praying, listen, while I was in the midst of the praying, I want to say this, though. The other people in the room, besides myself and Mary, my wife, and this girl named Renee, when the first thing I said was, I believe God wants to raise your baby up. Well, they started leaving the room.
Really?
Yes, there was about four of them in there, and they all left the room. So after we prayed this prayer, and I shared this simple principle with her, actually she and her common-law husband had come to this place because it was a mission church. They had a mission besides the church, and she was going to stay in that mission.
Amen.
So I left her, and I walked out, and I was walking down the hall, and a door opened beside me as I was walking down the hall, and the pastor reached out and kind of grabbed me by the arm, and he kind of tugged me in the room, you know. And there was all four of them there standing in the room, and he said, David, he said, God's not going to do that for her. I said, then why not? He said, well, she killed that baby. And I said, yeah, but I don't think you really understand grace. You've got a new creation in there. That creation in there is not guilty.
Amen.
Not guilty at all for what that other woman did.
Amen.
That other person is dead and gone, and that's a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new.
Yes,
I said,
amen.
Besides that, I said, if I want to believe it, just let me believe it. And I just walked out of the room, left them all standing there.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
And, so the next day I was at home, you know, and this little girl called me from over there the next day. And she said, Brother David, I wanted to go down to the public health unit again, and nobody over here wants to take me. And I said, well, you just don't worry about it. I'll come take you right now. So I went down there and picked her up, and I wanted to say a few words of encouragement to her anyway, in case she forgot what I told her the day before, you know.
Right, amen.
So I was taking her down to the public health unit and in the car, and I said, now, Renee, remember what we said. You know, faith is not sight. Faith is not man's works. And men who walk by sight and work on you by sight, they don't know about God's free gift,
right,
of salvation, whether it's salvation for your body, for your mind, for your soul, for your circumstances. They don't know anything about God's free gift. They only walk by sight, and they want you to walk by sight. I said,
yeah.
Don't pay any attention to anything but what you've prayed. You've prayed, now believe you have received, and don't let anybody talk you out of it. So we went down there and went into the room, and the doctor came out and told her, and he was a little stern with her. He said, you were supposed to come back for a D&C. Your body could be blood poisoned because of what you're doing right now. She said, well, I want to be checked again. So the doctor handed her over to a male nurse.
Right.
And he took her in the back. And then another nurse came in there and handled her for there. I didn't go back there for this part, so I just had to take their word what happened, you know. And then another nurse, female nurse, came in and took her and started ministering to her and so on and so forth. And they put the sonogram on her, and they put the heartbeat monitor on her to see if the baby was, according to their thinking, dead, you know. And sure enough, there was absolutely no life in the baby as far as heartbeat or sonogram movement, no movement whatsoever. And the technician told her, ma'am, you're overdue for a D&C. You need to have done something by now. And this little girl said, her name was Renee, she said, well, I just don't accept that. And I tell you, it's when you exercise your faith in your works that
right.
you really get to see the miracles, because faith without works is dead in itself, you know? You can't prove that you have faith unless it's manifested in your feet, in your mouth, in your actions.
Right.
faith in the mind is not enough. It has to be faith in your actions. You have to walk in agreement with what you say you believe and what the Word of God says. And this little girl said, well, I just don't accept that. That was the simple statement she made. And let me tell you, when she said those words is when that baby came to life.
Amen.
And it started moving around, and heartbeat monitor kicked on, you know, and oh, she was exuberant again, you know. Well, after a while, she came out, told me the whole story. She was just lit up like a light bulb, you know.
Yes, amen.
God is awesome. You know what,
that
folks?
That doctor was pretty lit up, too.
They don't know what to think on something like that. They used to have my older sister is a doctor, and they used to have a common saying, and called it an act of God.
Uh-huh.
But now they try to explain everything, you know.
Right.
There are no more acts of God. Well, that was an act of God, praise be to God.
Yes,
and,
amen.
And he's proving his salvation when we go about it in his way. She wasn't in Egypt. You know, even as young as she was in the wilderness because there was no hope of any salvation, any provision, any of God's promises coming to pass, except it came straight from God and through her faith.
Right.
And it was no works of man involved in this. And that's the way God likes it. He don't want to share his glory with men. We're
right.
going to see, you know, in the book of Acts, for instance, and in the Gospels, for instance, we don't see Jesus using the things that are to bring to nothing the curse that was around him. He spoke the word of faith. The disciples after him, they spoke the word of faith. They didn't do a lot of begging either. They spoke the word of faith, and it came to pass. And nobody could get glory for it but God Almighty. Man's hands, the Egyptians' hands, weren't in there doing the providing. So only God got the glory. The next thing in the list that the Lord gave me, he said, was miraculous healings. I have had awesome miraculous healings all of my Christian life. I'm telling you the truth, all of my Christian life, because, again, I didn't have any background, but I read the Word. I read the Word. I read the Word. And I began to act on what I saw there. And again, I didn't have anybody to guide me. And I think that was what really saved me. I didn't have to overcome a lot of traditions of men that make of no effect the Word of God.
Yes, so, amen, I agree.
It's been an awesome life. I mean, I've raised 5 children. And you know what? These children haven't been to doctors and taken medicine, and I don't forbid them, but they just don't do it because we pray over them, we believe, we stand firm. And God has healed them every time. I can remember one time my wife, when our little girl was on a trampoline with some bigger kids, and they jumped on her leg, and we think it possibly could have broke her leg, but she just couldn't stand on it. And my wife endured the trial for about a day or so, and she said, David, I want to take her to the doctor. I said, well, you can go ahead and take her to the doctor. I said, but you're not going to find anything wrong because she's healed. And sure enough, that's one of the few times my wife went against me. After that, she never did do it anymore. And she took her to the doctor, and sure enough, they couldn't find a thing wrong. And when she got back, she started walking perfectly. You know, so, but let me tell you some of the experiences I've had that show that we don't really need men's works, and we need to act on what the Bible says. I was in a wreck here some years ago on my motorcycle going to work. This was about 22, 23 years ago, and I was in a wreck. I came to the bottom of an interstate overpass, and a car in front of me that was actually on the overpass slammed on its brakes, and it was 3 lanes on my side and 3 lanes on the other side, and that car slammed on its brakes, turned sideways, and covered up 2 lanes, and all the cars were taking the 3rd lane, and I mean, it looked like one wheel grabbed, and it just spun sideways,
yes.
And here I was about to hit this car. Well, the only thing that saved me, let me tell you what saved me, for a week and a half or something like that, I saw a vision in my mind. I saw myself about to hit this car, and I just stood up on my bike.
Right, amen.
And because, well, that's a rather unusual thing to do. Most bikers lay them down and let them dig in and get behind the bike, you know, let the bike take the hit, you know. Well, I was programmed now. I mean, I had seen it. It wasn't a vision of my eyes. It was in my mind. I saw it in my mind. I saw it happen in my mind. And I was wide awake, but I saw it. It was just almost like a thought, you know. But it actually came to pass. And I came to the bottom of this overpass, and that car turned sideways, and there was nothing I could do. There was no place I could go. he had covered up two lanes and all the cars had gone over to the third lane, so I was going to hit him. And
right.
And you know, things happen so fast. I mean, here I was doing 70 miles an hour, you know, and I was about to hit this car. And the Lord was spanking me, too, I'm going to tell you right off, because the Lord had told me to obey the speed limit, and I wasn't doing it.
Right.
And I was fudging, and I was justifying, and I was saying, oh, God, you know, Lord, even the police let you fudge 5 miles an hour. But motorcycles always loved speed when I was young. But the Lord was saying, no, I want you to obey the speed limit.
Amen.
So he gave me that little vision in my mind three times, and sure enough, I was probably doing 65, 70 miles an hour, and this car turned sideways. And I had just a moment. I stood up. I pointed it away from the driver just a little bit, kind of between the front wheel and the driver, and just plowed into him. And I flew over the top of this car. You know, things happen so fast. When you're going 65 miles an hour when you hit something, I mean, I didn't even have time for my brakes to slow me down.
Oh,
you don't
right.
see anything. It happens so fast. You don't see anything, but I remember flying through the air and landed on top of that overpass. Literally, I landed on top of that overpass.
Okay.
And I couldn't see anything. The first thing I recognized was I was blind. I couldn't see a thing. So I thought, well, maybe somebody else is still coming. So I rolled over until I felt the edge of the bridge abutment there, and I just laid there. And a spirit of the Lord just came on me in power, and I started praising and worshiping God. It just was all over me while I was laying there on the concrete.
Yes.
And as I did that, my sight started coming back. And before long, a policeman had showed up, and he walked over to me, and he looked down at me, and he said, did you have your seatbelt on? And I looked up at him. I was trying to get a picture of his face so I could tell if he was really sincere or whether he was just pulling my leg, you know. And
right.
I figured out he was sincere. I said, look, I was on the motorcycle. They don't have seatbelts. And so the ambulance came and picked me up off the highway, and I asked him, I said, can you guys carry me home? I said, well, I just want to go home. He said, nope, we can't carry you home. We'll take you to any hospital you want to go. Well, you cannot go home. I said, well, I don't really care where you carry me then. Just take me wherever you want to. Because I hadn't in this time been since the time I was saved, hadn't been to a doctor or been to a hospital, you know, and
right.
I don't have anything against them. I just feel like God does a better job, and you don't need any help.
Yeah, amen.
So they took me to the hospital, and I was talking to the nurses and witnessing to them, and actually when I landed, I broke my right arm, and I cut my chin in two, and one lip was cut in two,
uh-huh.
And it was amazing because, of course, in those days, you didn't have to have any helmet, and I didn't have a helmet on.
Right.
Flying that far and landed on the concrete, that's awesome, you know, to not get hurt any more than that, you know.
Right.
But I was talking and witnessing to the nurses, and they wanted to x-ray my arm, and they wheeled me in there and x-rayed my arm, and they said, yep, sure enough, it's broke, you know. And wheeled me back out to the doctor, and the doctor wanted to stitch up my lip and my chin, and I said, no. I says, I'm going to trust the Lord. I says, he's done a much better job. I said, I'm going to put my faith in him. And he wanted to put my arm in a cast. And I said, no, not going to do that either. I said, I'm going home. God Almighty has already healed me at the cross, and I don't need this. I'm going home. Of course, they didn't understand that, and I knew they wouldn't, and I wasn't trying to be hard on them or anything like
right,
that.
Right, right.
And to make a long story short, I ended up at home, and my neighbor, I stretched every ligament in my body. I could not move my legs because
right.
when I flew off of that bike, my right shoe hooked on the handlebars,
uh-huh.
and it was laying by the bike, and the other shoe was on me out there in the middle of the interstate. So after a day or two, I started getting up and hobbling around, and I was hobbling around my yard, and I walked around my neighbor's yard because we had cleaned his yard up quite a bit and had cleared some trees out, and he had some trees down, and he was de-limbing them, and we were burning them and things like that. So I passed by this tree laying on the ground, just hobbling by, you know. And I thought to myself, it was laying by the fire. Just the trunk was there. It was a pretty good trunk. And I thought to myself, you know, if I could just heave that trunk over on the fire and burn it in half, well, the next time it'd be already burnt. And I was always like that, always wanting to get something done. If I'm going somewhere, I'd do it on the way. You know what I'm talking
right.
about? I'm always very efficient in that kind of way. But
right.
And then the thought came to me, yeah, but if you tear up that log, your arm's going to be laying on the ground. The bone is broken. And then I thought, yeah, but if by his stripes you are healed, you can pick that log up. You know what? That was the Lord talking. Because I reached down and picked up that log, and it was a pretty good-sized log, and I heaved it on the fire, and I never felt a thing. I never felt a thing, you know, because God had healed me. He did it in that split instant. He healed me because I acted on my faith. You know, when he says, by his stripes, you were healed, he means you were healed. And you can act on that. You can step out on that like Peter stepped out on that word Jesus said, come. He stepped out on that water supernaturally, you know. And so I went back to work. And first thing they did was send me to the infirmary because they didn't think I could be healed.
Right.
So they sent me to the infirmary because Exxon had a big infirmary out there, a hospital with everything in it, really. And I said to the doctor, I'm healed. I'm ready to go back to work. He said, no way. It takes at least 12 weeks for a break like that to heal. There is no way you're healed.
Right.
I said, well, I'm healed, doctor. He said, well, you go prove it. You go take this x-ray. They had their own x-ray machine there. See?
Right.
So I went and took the x-ray, and I was back in his office in a little while, and he said, something's wrong here. I said, doctor, there isn't anything wrong with the x-ray. I'm healed. I told you I was healed. God healed me. I said, listen, what religion are you? He said, oh, I think he said Episcopalian. I said, well, don't you Episcopalians believe God heals? He said, yeah, we believe he heals, but we believe he uses doctors. I
Amen.
Said, well, he didn't do it this time. And I did a few calisthenics for the man. I showed him. I said, could I do this if I had a broken arm? He said, no, you couldn't. I said, well, then you might as well let me go back to work, right?
Yeah.
So he did. He let me go back to work. And it was a great witness because the man working with me, when he saw what happened, he was saved. That guy was saved. I mean, because one of the first jobs I had was on top of a cooling tower. These big, tall cooling tower stacks with a great big fan in the inside of it to cool the water that they use on the at the refinery there. And they had put the gearbox in, and we had to stretch the cables across the top. And this guy was bigger and huskier than me, and he was stretching the cable, and I'd put a nut on the end of the bolt. You know, you have to stretch it all the way across. And so he got tired. And I said, look, Melvin, move aside and let me pull that cable. I said, you put the nut on. He said, are you sure you can do that? I said, I'm absolutely sure. I'm healed. So I reached out there with that once broken arm and stretched that thing so he could put a nut on. And he was amazed.
That's amazing.
He was saved.
David?
Yes, sir.
We're going to... let's give you a few minutes and let's talk about your website. You are coming back next week, and so I wanted to show everybody that we're going to get some more of your great testimony next week. And you know, you're showing us things that is just the church has stopped us with. You know, we need to step out in faith, and they need to hear your testimony. But I would like for you to be able to direct them to your website this time, and so it'll be up there on the archives so when they click on and they'll know where you're at.
Okay. Well, my site is www.americas, that's with an S on the end of it, americaslastdays.com. And Pastor Dan spoke about the rapture. I challenge you to read an article in there called Rapture When. It is irrefutable, the evidence that God has given us for when the rapture is and when the church is going and so on and so forth.
I know I've got your site up. What's this book, Sovereign God, what's this about?
That is a book that is really changing some lives right now. It is just amazing to me that God could use me to write a book, honestly. But people are really excited over this thing because it has really changed some lives. It teaches a person how that God works all things together for our good, that he's in everything in order to bring us into the image of Jesus Christ so that we can carry on his ministry. We are the body of Christ. We're not the body of a modern-day Christ. We're the body of the same Jesus Christ that walked in the Gospels. And that's what God's plan is for every one of us, that Jesus walk in us and live in us and do his signs and wonders through us. And listen, Jesus Christ is going to have no problem walking through that wilderness, folks. And if he's in you, you will have no problem walking in that wilderness. But the Word of God has to be manifested in us for him to live in us, and that Word is Jesus Christ. And that book is basically a how-to book, how to walk through the wilderness and how to be prepared with the power of God to do it, you know. And I think it'll really excite people.
Well, amen. I haven't read it. I'll have to get a copy of it myself and read it. But praise the Lord. So I'm going to say goodbye to you. You're going to be back with us next week, and I can't wait. like I say, the people really need your testimony. I know you gave me great encouragement. That's much of what you're talking about is how our ministry is run, is all by faith. But so praise the Lord, and we'll have you back with us next week. So I'll say goodbye to you now, David, until next week.
Okay, well, God bless you, and God bless you, brethren.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord. I had been waiting for 3 weeks for the end of that story. That's an amazing story of resurrection from about that woman's baby. But that's how we have to be, is we have to step out in faith. You know, because it's one thing just to say it, but then it's another thing entirely just to do it. We do that at our little mission that we have. We step out in faith to feed the people and to care for the people. And much of that is done by support of people on the Internet or through our mail-out newsletter, people God has touched their heart. And we're just in a process right now. We're moving next door. We're getting a little bigger building. We've never had a kitchen. We've got a small kitchen, but it's big enough. Some friends of mine, some saints, helped put it in this last, put it in, and so we'll be moving in over there. Hopefully we'll get to serve food out of there come Tuesday. But praise the Lord. So I just want to thank you all for supporting us, and visit our website, see what we're about, and pray about supporting this ministry. But I really greatly encourage you to step out in faith during this time and get over there to David's website, listen to it, look through it. He's got some free offers there. He doesn't sell anything just like us, and so you'll be blessed. So I'm going to say, Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord's face shines upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. This is Pastor Dan, until next week, saying Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch. Disease is big business. Approximately 3,500 men, women, and children die of cancer, heart disease, and other killer maladies every day. That is a World Trade Center disaster every single day. Conventional medicine will never provide a cure, but only treat symptoms. All of us have a complete set of lymphatic vessels that parallel the blood vessels. Learn how to properly activate these lymphatic vessels, which will allow the oxygen within your own bloodstream to reach the actual cells and heal your body. Free yourself from pain, loss of energy, disease, and premature death. Stop treating symptoms and learn to heal yourself. Call 1-800-783-5029. That's 1-800-783-5029. That's toll-free 1-800-783-5029, or go to www.speedhealing.com. That's speedhealing.com.
This is the American Voice Radio Network, broadcasting live on satellite at Galaxy 7, Transponder 12, Audio 8.1. We're on the Internet at AmericanVoiceRadio.com. You can hear American Voice Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Spectrum Natural Vitamin E is the highest potency full-spectrum vitamin E complex, not the DL synthetic chemical form, and not esterified. 4-spectrum vitamin E contains high alpha, preventing platelet aggregation and dissolving internal blood clots, and high gamma, neutralizing smoke, fumes, waste, and other harmful free radicals inside your body. Doctors report relief from angina, painful leg cramps, strokes, fibrocystic breast tumors, circulation problems, and much more. Get one bottle for $35, two bottles for only $60 post-pay. Restore this vital nutrient removed from your food supply through processing. Read more at 4spectrum.us. That's number 4spectrum.us. Call 1-800-581-8906. That's 1-800-581-8906. Order yours today.